Thank you. So, well, I wanted to say a couple of things to open. One is that, as Leanne mentioned, this presentation really is about the conceptual work and what we've learned in the process. There is another presentation, I think at 4:30 this afternoon, where I'll be giving a little bit more background on the task force itself and the process that the task force went through. And that's also detailed in the executive summaries that you have back here, and we're happy to talk more about that as well. And we've done some webinars on that information, which are available online as well. One of the themes throughout this whole presentation and throughout this work has been relationships and collaboration. I want to delve a little bit more into building collaborative partnerships and what we like to call our work. We call it lots of things at different times, but we like to call it silo busting, breaking down barriers between sectors, and it's really about relationships fundamentally. It's about institutional relationships, but it's also, of course, about personal relationships. And the guide that we're producing talks more about kind of the distinctions between the institutional relationships and the personal relationships and how those are both important and how they work together. I'm going to talk a little bit about collaboration itself. There's a really nice model that was put together by the Australian Research Alliance for Children and Youth, where they talk about trust, reciprocity, and mutuality. And as we were reflecting on what we've learned about collaboration, we realized that our learnings really fit into that framework. And so we've organized our thoughts that way. I'm also going to talk about staffing and the concept of a backbone team to support this work. And then I will also share some of the findings that came out of a process evaluation that was conducted of our task force. So I'll start with the collaboration piece and with trust. There are a number of elements that we have found have been really essential for building trust. One of these is humility. It's not always the easiest lesson to learn, the lesson of humility. But it's really, really critical. And we're working in fields such as city planning, transportation, social services, finance, corrections and rehabilitation, state purchasing processes, nutrition. There is no way that we can be experts in all of these fields, and yet we're trying to make change in all of these fields, and we're working with people who are those experts. We have to continually admit our ignorance, embrace our ignorance, be open to learning, ask questions, ask again, share information with each other. A number of us finished graduate school recently, and I think I felt like I'm in graduate school all over again in this job. Accountability is also, actually, one more thing on humility is just being willing to admit our mistakes as well. And when we do this kind of risk-taking, boundary-crossing work, we are going to make mistakes all the time, and that's okay. The key is to notice when they happen, to backtrack, to apologize, to make sure that there's goodwill, and to figure out what we need to learn moving forward. Accountability is really key. It's been essential for us to follow through on our commitments and let our partners know when plans change. I have assumed good intentions up here. When we don't understand why somebody else is doing something the way that they are, it's easy for us to jump to conclusions about what's going on. If we can assume good intentions, then it opens up a whole realm of opportunity for learning. We can be curious, and we often discover that there are good intentions, and we can find more opportunities to partner. It's been very important for us to convey our commitment to our partners' priorities, and that goes back to humility and really learning what they are and understanding what those priorities are. And then to demonstrate that we understand what those priorities are. This is important for establishing credibility. It's also important for demonstrating that we care about what they're trying to achieve, that we understand their resource constraints, their political sensitivities, conveying that we will not put them in a difficult position. A very quick example of this is kind of going back to the health lens approach that Leanne was talking about, we've been really interested in taking state guidance documents, like our state issues guidance on general plans and also guidance on regional transportation planning, and we want to get a health lens into those documents. But we found out very quickly that our partners who issue those guidance documents, when they do revisions to those documents, it's a political process. It takes months or years. It's very expensive. It's very labor intensive. And it's been important for us. We went in kind of saying, let's just do it. And then we got a lot of pushback. And then we learned, and what we've come to is that actually they're interested in doing this too. They just need us to work with them on their process of how they can make it happen. And as we've been able to step back and really take time to learn about their approach, they've actually been starting to come to us with opportunities to do this work. Reciprocity, I found to be a really interesting concept. This is different from kind of the tit-for-tat system or the scorecard approach of being self-interested and cautious, and we're going to keep tabs on, you know, what do I do for you and what do you do for me. This is more of a shift towards a longer-term, more collective practice of helping each other that involves risk-taking. It's based on the willingness to put time or other resources forward with the assumption that others will follow suit, and it means giving freely to others. This is happening in our task force now. It was not at the beginning. It's something that's really grown out of trust building and out of relationships, and we have 2.5 years under our belt, and we've really seen this start to develop as kind of a culture within the group. I think we still have a long ways to go, but it's been very exciting. And it's been important for us and our team to really model this. And so one example of that is we're always looking for ways that we can help our partners. How can we help you achieve your goals? And one thing that we've been able to do, many of our partners have grant programs and they need reviewers. And so it's a big time commitment, but our staff has spent considerable time reviewing grants for our partner agencies. And it's that show of goodwill that makes it so much easier when we want to go and ask them for something, you know, for them to know that this is a true partnership. Mutuality is the idea that our goals are aligned, that we have collective interests in the welfare of our state, our city, wherever we are, that we have a common vision for our community, and that our work really depends upon each other. In fact, we can't do our work alone because we each hold a piece of the puzzle and our work is interrelated. Because governments tend to be so siloed, this is not a natural concept in government, but people do tend to get this pretty quickly, and I think that people actually feel somewhat relieved to have this kind of approach. I think that it's actually a very human approach. And in California, we've started to see this really take hold through the work of the task force. And this really goes back to what Josephine was speaking about in terms of co-benefits. And I'll just give a quick example of this as well. The California Department of Education has been looking at the funds that they spend on school infrastructure and facilities. And they, because the state has other priorities around sustainability and around health and the work of the Health and Health Policies Task Force, they've started to look at how they can have those funds support these multiple goals. And they're looking at the links between school facilities policies, city planning, transportation planning, food systems, and health. And then through our task force, they've been reaching out to the transportation planning and other agencies to partner in this work and figure out how they can support the goals of those other agencies at the same time. So it's really kind of taking what they call in Australia a whole of government approach, that we're going to establish some common goals and visions across government and work together towards those. I cannot underscore enough the importance of a backbone team, and you could say that I'm biased because that's how I keep my job, but but it's really an essential ingredient in supporting this kind of collaborative work. And this term comes from Kanya and Kramer, who are at Stanford. They developed a model called collective impact, which has a lot of overlap with Health and All Policies. In California, we have a backbone team of 5 people, and you see us here on the panel. 4 of us work full-time supporting health in all policies. We carry out a wide variety of tasks and functions to help facilitate this process. All of our government partners already have full workloads, so having this facilitation role has been really crucial. And I'm just going to share some of the things that we do to give you a picture of what this involves. We facilitate, and this is a pretty broad term. We plan meetings, we schedule meetings, we develop agendas, we facilitate discussions, we facilitate decision making. We have a consensus process. We find out who doesn't agree with the decisions that we're trying to reach, and we go talk to them and find out what it is and figure out who else we need to bring into the room. So really, a lot of work around decision making. We take notes, we summarize outcomes, we follow up with people on action steps. We do a lot of communication support. We keep people in the loop about each other's work. We identify areas where we think that multiple agencies are going to have a common interest, but they may not realize that they have partners, and we help get them on the same page. We call meetings between different agencies and say, we think that, you know, you two and you should all get in the same room because we've heard you talk about the same thing, and so we get them in the same room. This wouldn't happen if we didn't have this team going out and meeting with everybody and finding those areas of alignment. We also give presentations on behalf of the work. We also conduct research. This includes reading a lot of research that other people have done. We identify areas where we need more information. We get the information. We interview experts. We contact people in academia, in other state agencies, at a local level. We work with external stakeholders, with our local health departments. The bottom line is it's a lot of work to make this work happen, and it's been really essential to have some dedicated staff time. I don't know that I have much to say about where it should be housed. We're at the health department, but my time is up. Okay. Can I take one more minute? So we were very lucky to work with Harder & Company, who conducted an evaluation of our task force, and I wanted to share a few of the findings. We did find that trust has increased among our task force members as a result of this work. There's also increased collaboration, they said, between themselves on these projects, but also between their agencies as a whole. And they're also collaborating more with non-government groups. And we also found that their motivation, they're certainly motivated because our work is supporting their agency goals, but they also said that they are motivated because of health impact. They're motivated because they can make a difference for the state. So that's really important, that co-benefits are important, but the people that we're working with also really care about health, regardless of sectors. The barriers that they identified are resource constraints. There's not enough money. There's not enough staff time to do this work. Not all of them have had enough decision-making authority within their department, and so that can be hard coming to these meetings. And they've also asked for clarity about the long-term commitment because our executive order lays out a short-term plan, and so we're having those conversations now. And they identified 3 elements of success that they think are essential for our work, but also for other groups moving forward. One is to have actionable recommendations that are politically and financially feasible, so realistic actions that can be done. This goes back to the idea of easy wins, early wins. Really having cross-sectoral participation. Josephine talked about how we keep reaching out to more and more people who aren't on the task force, because the more we delve into these issues, the broader the sphere becomes. And also having that high-level directive that gets people to the table in the first place. We are summarizing much of our learnings in a guide that will be out early in the new year. We're working with APHA on that. And here is our contact information. Thank you.
Before we open it up for questions or comments that you'd like to share, I wanted to turn to Dr. Horton about startup.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to, and here's an opportunity for me to explain express my humility because as director, I mean, I saw a major tsunami coming, and it was my opportunity to sort of do what I could to sort of help facilitate this movement. But to me, the startup was all about, you know, several key factors. One of them was just the big idea and the vision. And I, as you appropriately accredited, I think Dr. Rudolph gets an awful lot of credit for having the kernel of the idea. And it's about being bold and being courageous and absolutely presenting that idea. I think the second concept here was already expressed by your excellent presentation, was talking about this concept of window of opportunity. The governor had actually set the stage for making the opportune time to move forward with the concept of health and health policies, in that he, you know, created through AB 32 the climate action team and the strategic growth council to really look at things in a broad, you know, multi-sector type of way, so that the situation was set for moving this thing forward. I think Linda saw the opportunity here in really inculcating the concept of health and all policies as within this broader framework. I think the other thing that was really key here was understanding the role of leadership in moving this forward, so that Linda felt that it was very important to convince me and provide me the opportunity to, in turn, communicate with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, who we saw, one of the first steps we did was to make sure that she was on the climate action team, and then use her role on the Strategic Growth Council to be informed about the policy, the health and all policies concept, given specific examples of how that can be applied, for example, through the state procurement process, and then convince her that we can provide support that she needs to move those things forward. And then finally, I think it was all about reaching out to key partners. And here I have to really, salute the support of the California Endowment and the Public Health Institute here in California to provide the keys to help move that forward. So really the combination of the bold vision, the window of opportunity concept, the idea of the role of leadership and ensuring you have a clear idea of where, what the right level of leadership that needs to be engaged in order to make move this thing forward, and finally the engagement of key partners to get movement. So I think that's what helps it move forward. But I want to compliment all of you for doing a great job through your presentations and showing what are the key skills, the leadership skills that need to be maintained in order to sustain this effort moving forward. You've done a beautiful job. So thank you.
That was really great to hear. So, questions or comments or something you want to share? We'll go to far back first, and then far back, and then the middle. Really shout it out. Use your.
My question is, what is your relationship to the Federal National Environmental Policy Act and also to the state CEQA, and how does your work fit in with that?
Okay, so this is the relationship to both the federal around CEQA in particular.
CEQA and NEPA.
And NEPA. Okay, great.
Great question. So we really partner with the Governor's Office of Planning and Research, and they are really the experts on CEQA and NEPA as we see it. And so as our relationship has grown, conversations around those have evolved. It's not a priority area of ours right now, but I think the relationship that we have with them has, you know, built some momentum on talking about that and really built trust that we can talk to them, and through us we can kind of bring in stakeholders that we know have expertise on those and bring them to the table and connect them with the governor's office. Thanks.
And then the woman in the white, go ahead. And then we'll get you.
Did you have any state legislators that were part of your team, or why not?
Who wants to address that? Why don't you all stand up and kind of gather around the microphone so you can and repeat the question. So this is about the role of legislatures. Were they involved or were they not, and why? Either way.
Mm-hmm. So, and I maybe that Dr. Horton has more to add around this. We do not have state legislators who are on the task force. The task force was created by the governor and is really a task force of government agencies and departments. So it's on the executive administrative side of government. However, the legislature has been very interested in this work. We have done briefings for the legislators. The other thing that's happened legislatively is that while we, because of our position in government, have not been able to do legislative work. We partner with a number of nonprofit organizations that represent community interests that have taken our task force's recommendations and have developed legislation based on those ideas and have run those through the legislature. Some of those have passed. So there has been a legislative agenda that has grown out of this work.
Did you have something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to add that as we've been talking to people around the country, there are groups where legislators have been more involved in the process, and I think that's one of the key things I've learned in the last year is that each Health and All Policies group or initiative or process is going to be really different, and I think the way that our work is structured sort of legislative action has not been part of our efforts, which is not to say that no Health and All Policies activities ever collaborate with legislators.
It is part of our efforts, but not directly. So the fact that we can listen and have this nice communication with other stakeholders and advocacy groups is really essential. You, sir.
Hi, my name is Gavin. I'm with the City of Richmond, California. And thank you for your work. We've been using it a lot. We're currently also creating a Health and All Policies strategy for our city. And we also have a central table where we have our city, our Contra Costa Health Services, and the school district trying to create a Health and All Policies strategy. But I think now we're coming to a point where we want to be able to, we have a lot of buy-in from the department heads and, you know, across the systems. However, we feel that it's not going to be implemented fully until the whole city staff, it goes down, and also our residents know what Health and All Policies is, and understand the importance of it and how it combats health disparities and addresses health equity. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've had any recommendations on that or if you're going to be moving towards doing that for the state of, you know, having that connection between residents and also staff to be on that same page as our leadership. Because I think that'll move things faster.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I think I would say I agree. I think it's been a challenge working at the state level to be deeply connected to local communities, and I think that that's something that we're always acknowledging, that it's easy to be really kind of isolated, especially at the state level, and I think cities have and counties have a much closer relationship with their local communities. It's been important to us to partner with our local health departments and through them to part, you know, to be able to get input on local issues. But I think that there's this concept, it's an emerging concept, and it's important to be building support at all levels.
And we're really going to work closer with our local health departments. So they're raising the same questions and issues that we are, because we recognize that. Okay, so we've talked about state agencies and advocacy organizations, but without those public forums that we had where we say, you know, these are the people, this is where they live, work, and learn, and play, and this is what they think of the healthy community, and they believe that it's the responsibility of government to work to provide this for them, without that voice. So your point is well taken, and I think we're going to do more work in that regard. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, he had his hand up and then you. Okay, it's my fault, his moderator.
Really quickly, how old was the Health and All Policies program? Did it start with Schwarzenegger or Jerry Brown?
Schwarzenegger in 2010. Short answer.
Yes, and the executive order stays in place unless it's for some reason the governor wants to rescind it, but we can operate under that executive order. And now we have a concurrent Senate resolution, and then it's recognized Health and All Policies Task Force is now legislated within the new Office of Health Equity. So it gradually kind of gains a foothold and credibility. And like all of our agencies are telling us, you have to have a top down on this. It has to, because they're always trying to deal with shifting priorities. And if it isn't a top down approach, well, then it's really easy to get sidetracked. And you, please.
So I don't know a lot about accreditation, but I know that I think it's Monterey who started to do some work in California around Health and All Policies, and I believe that they have started to think about how to use accreditation to support health and all policies. Are you from Monterey? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so we have someone here who you should talk to. I'm glad I remembered that correctly. And so I think that, you know, one of the things I was trying to say is that anything can be an opportunity if you frame it correctly. So we've got someone over here for you to talk to.
We have one. You're going to be our last question, but before you talk, I want to tell you all that please send your cards. We'll get you on our mailing list. If you have a specific question, please write it on the back, and we will communicate back to you. And so please, you're going to be the last question. Or comment, that's fine too. Thank you. I want to adjourn on time so that you can get off to your next meeting. I want to thank you all. We'll stay up here to answer questions.